Hey, welcome to Sports Saturday on KLBJ Radio. I'm Ed Clements along with Ben Clements. This is the End Zone Club. End Zone Club brought to you by United Heritage Credit Union, ACL Live, and Covert and Bastrop with assistance by Maxwell Lock and Ritter, Tito's Homemade Vodka, Sue Patrick, TicketCity.com, and by Delaware Subs. Longhorns fall today 34-27 to the Boomer Sooners of Oklahoma. I'm Ed Clements in studio in Austin, and Ben Clements is in Big D. Ben, was this game as ugly in person as it was in TV at times?
Pop, it was painful to watch. It's simple as that. It was not fun to watch. I'm drowning right now in pizza and tears watching the Texas Aggies. It's not a good feeling. It's a hard walk back to the car going through that Texas State Fair after losing to Oklahoma.
Let me tell you what, our phone lines are always open on the End Zone Club. If you'd like to chime in, I know we got a lot of people listening. As you come back from Dallas, 512-836-0590. That's 512-836-0590. I wrote some notes down. Number one, Oklahoma, Ben, to me, was much, much more physical. And they just looked quicker from the onset of the game.
Yeah, I wrote a few things down, too. These are the things we know. These are the facts. One, Sam Ehlinger is a tough SOB. Second of all, this defense is still a huge work in progress. I mean, at no point did they look like they were getting better at tackling throughout the entire game. Texas play calls were not so on point today. As the kids say, it was not so dope. Mm-hmm. Tim Beck, this was probably the worst play calling game I think he's had all season long. Do you agree?
You know, I would tend to agree with that, but I also have to give credit, and I don't know what's going on with that Oklahoma defense. Everybody scores against the Oklahoma defense. From everybody they played, all the patsies they played, everybody scores. Texas could not score consistently. Mm-hmm. They looked ferocious. The Texas offensive line was terrible today.
Oh, gosh, that was the most frustrating part of the game, Dad.
They were overmatched. Oklahoma was much more physical. And I don't know what's going on with the offense. You put so much pressure on Sam Ehlinger, and for all intents and purposes, Ben, after the first half, it could have been 28-0 because Oklahoma got in inside the 24 times and only had 10 points to show for it.
It's a wonder that Texas ended up with a backdoor cover covering that 11-point spread. But I just think flat out Texas got outcoached. As simple as that. Tom Herman got outcoached by Lincoln Riley. Tim Beck and Todd Orlando got outcoached. They got outplayed. It's everything that could have gone wrong went wrong today.
It really did. And you make a good point about coaching. And I saw the news conference with Tom Herman. And he was visibly upset because his team just got beat physically on both sides of the ball. But I think Tom had some terrible mistakes in the first half when he used up all his timeouts. And on that last drive, when Texas was driving to get a touchdown, eventually they got a field goal from Dicker the kicker, but still, terrible clock management by Texas. And another thing, terrible special teams play again on the punt return, and especially on the kickoff returns.
Yeah, you know, I want to hear what Devin Duvernay said about that, but his kick returns, he made some dumb, boneheaded plays, fielding the ball inside the five and letting some of the ones not go. I mean, you know, Herman likes to stress, take your 25. You get the ball, just fair catch. Kneel it, take your 25, and start your drive. You don't want to start the ball inside the five, let alone the one. That was bad. Texas, I did not think they took enough shots downfield. That was very frustrating to watch, all the laterals, all the sideways passing. I wanted to see Colin Johnson get into the game. And also, Pop, I don't know if you noticed this, but Jake Smith, the star receiver, got one look today. He only had one pass to him, and that was in that first quarter, the big play that he dropped.
It was a drop.
He didn't get a single ball to him the rest of the game, and that was very annoying to see because Jake Smith is one of the best playmakers on that offense.
Well, you bring up a good point, Ben, because there were some key drops. Colin Johnson, a drop which should have been a touchdown. Jake Smith, drop which would have been a long, long. Eagles had a drop in the game. It was uncharacteristic of this wide receiver crew that we both think is one of the best in the nations. But let me tell you what, it showed some cracks in it today. But the only bright spot, I would say there's two bright spots about Texas today. Sam Ehlinger is tough, tough, tough. And Rashawn Johnson was a bright spot because he was a guy that could run through tackles yards after contact, and he he helped bring the Longhorns back in this game. I tip my hat to Roshon Johnson, and I still wonder what in the world's going on with Keontae Ingram. Saying that, I know the blocking wasn't there much today.
Pop, you know, I will say, first of all, Roshon Johnson 100% deserves to be the starting running back the rest of the season until further notice, until Keontae Ingram can get his act together. And also, me and Ferris, my brother, we're sitting behind the Texas bench about five rows up, no brag. But we were watching, I was looking at the players, seeing their body language, and Keontae Ingram seemed to be pouting basically the entire game. He showed no enthusiasm. Roshon Johnson was going up and down the sideline, encouraging his teammates, pumping his guys up, and Keontae Ingram was just sitting there on the bench, just, you know, feeling sorry for himself, which is, you can't have that out of your starting receiver or starting running back.
You really can't, and that reared its ugly head against LSU when he dropped that short touchdown pass and got down on himself. You can't have that, but man, yeah. Oh, man. Roshon Johnson is a guy that saved the day for this Texas Longhorn.
He's a gamer.
But I was shocked. I wrote some other things down. What got me to, Ben, we haven't talked about this, the missed tackles by this Texas Longhorns defense.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely atrocious. I've never seen a defense on the backside not tackle as Texas did not tackle today.
Well, those defensive backs were making CeeDee Lamb look like a monster. I don't know if he had grease on his body or something, but they could not bring him to the ground. And that was, I mean, you can't expect to win when you're allowing a guy like CeeDee Lamb open lanes all day long.
Listen, I know CeeDee Lamb, and you know CeeDee Lamb's one of the top receivers in the country. But
they made him look like Calvin freaking Johnson.
Yeah, when he breaks out of three, four, five tackles, and it was astounding. And those runs by Jalen Hurts, he was practically naked out there. And if not for Jalen Hurts fumbling and throwing that silly interception, Texas would have been down by at least 21-28 in the first half.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts, he ended up with 131 yards of rushing, and that's the most by an Oklahoma quarterback against Texas.
Mm.
And this is the guy that I did not expect to break that. I thought it'd be Kyler Murray would be the one that has the big running game.
Yeah.
I don't know what they did differently between last year and this year in terms of the Red River rivalry, because I still think Kyler Murray is the better quarterback, but somehow Texas was able to shut him down and had no answer to Jalen Hurts.
I think it's a multitude of stuff. The way I saw it, Ben, is that
they didn't have that. They didn't have Charles and Minnehue and Gary Johnson. That was a key fact. They needed them back.
Bingo.
They were so dominant last year.
Right.
The defense could rely on those guys to get some pressure on the quarterback, and they just didn't have that this year. Who is once Joseph Malcolm Roach, once he was ejected, that dejected the team. Joseph Asai was banged up. You really have nobody to go rush the quarterback.
You don't. But he just would look like he would roll out, and he would start running, and there'd be acres and acres of nobody around. We got much more to talk about. I'm Ed Clements along with Ben Clements. This is the End Zone Club on KLBJ Radio. Ben is in Dallas, where the Longhorns lost today 34-27. Let's quickly get you up to date. The Aggies are trailing Alabama. Alabama leads 34-20 in College Station. Baylor leads Texas Tech 17-13 in a really interestingly close game in Waco. It is Iowa State over West Virginia 21-14. And Ben, the big shocker in the country this year, I watched this game at the end of the Longhorn game, as South Carolina upset Georgia 20-17. Will Muschamp used his third string quarterback, the former Longhorn coach in waiting, and they shock Georgia in Athens. It is an unbelievable blow to Georgia's national championship hopes. They got to run the table to have any shot to get in the Final Four now.
Yeah, I really don't know what to say about that. I haven't seen any of the highlights yet, but that's tough for Georgia. I don't know how they come back from that one. That is heartbreaking for them. And what a big win, though, for South Carolina.
What a big win for Will Muschamp. Okay, we got to take a break. This is the End Zone Club on KLBJ Radio, brought to you by Delaware Subs, where 2-for-1 cheesesteaks tomorrow on NFL Sunday. TicketCity.com. Sue Patrick at 5222 Burnett Road. Tito's Homemade Vodka, Maxwell Lock and Ritter, and by Covert and Bastrop, ACL Live, and United Heritage Credit Union. We'll be back with Ben from Dallas. This is Ed in Austin. We'll be back with more right after this. Welcome back to the End Zone Club, brought to you by United Heritage Credit Union. ACL Live and Covert and Bastrop, they were closed today but open tomorrow with assistance from Maxwell, Locke, and Ritter. Tito's Homemade Vodka, the official drink of the End Zone Club. Sue Patrick at 5222 Burnett Road. TicketCity.com. If you need tickets to an upcoming Longhorn game, talk to Randy and Lou and the guys at TicketCity.com. And by Delaware Subs, where they have the 2-for-1 cheese tech. I'm Ed in Austin. Ben is in Dallas, where the Horns fell 34-27. The Aggies are trying to mount a comeback. Alabama still leads 30-24 late in the third quarter. And it is Baylor over Texas Tech, 17-13.
Hey, how about those Bears? Good for Baylor.
Good for Baylor. Let's talk about Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts, we saw him when he was with Alabama. We saw him. You saw him live and in person. To me, he's a very, very good quarterback, Ben, but he's not going to be the Heisman Trophy winner.
No, he's not. I mean, he's a game manager. He's a game manager. He executes. He's not flashy. He's not gonna amaze you or wow you, but he's just gonna get the job done cleanly and effectively. I respect him. It was pretty fun watching a guy like that because he is a rock star in college football, but it's just he made Texas's defense look silly. But also at the same time, though, how many guys in the history of the world can say they won in the Red River Showdown and the Iron Bowl? That's pretty incredible.
It's pretty awesome. And he's a Texas guy. His dad's a high school coach from Channelview. The thing that is just glaring when you look at the stats, I don't know, you looked at the stats, Oklahoma averaged 7.1 yards per play. 7.1 yards per play. Conversely, Texas averaged 4.2 yards per play. In the rushing department, Oklahoma averaged 6.1 yards, Texas 2.8. And as you said, rightfully so, Hurts had 131 yards rushing, and Kennedy, the running back who nobody ever heard of, had 107 running
boy,
yards.
It's going to be a really, really, really long film study on Monday morning for that Texas defense. They're going to review that tape and review that tape and review that tape, and they're going to be cringing the entire time because that defense, I know they had two good turnovers. They got the interception and the fumble recovery, but the interception, Jalen Hurts made a boneheaded play. I don't know why he threw the ball into that end zone. That was not on Texas. That was Jalen Fultz hurt. That was his fault. The fumble was good for Texas, but besides those two plays, they really didn't do anything right.
They had no sacks in the game, man. No sacks. Texas defense never sacked. They rushed him a couple of times. But on the other side, Sam Ehlinger was sacked 9 times today. 9 times.
The problem for this Texas team, offensively, it's not Sam's fault. It is the offensive line. It is the lack of leadership in the receivers. They could not get Colin Johnson the ball enough. I would have liked to see Jake Smith get some more looks, but it's not on Sam Ehlinger, this loss.
No, it is not at all, and even with the sacks, Tom Herman said postgame, it's not all offensive line. It's the receivers not getting open.
It's the receivers not catching.
And not catching in the play of the Oklahoma defensive backs. I cannot tell you, I'm still flabbergasted that this OU defense looks so well most of the time. Granted, Sam was able to exploit them. Sam had passing 26 of 38 for 210. Sam carried the ball, Ben, 23 times for minus 9 yards. Minus 9 yards. Roschon Johnson, 8 carries for 95 yards. Again, he was a bright spot of this offense.
Yeah, I go back and forth with Keontae Ingram. I never know which Keontae is going to come out.
Yeah.
He doesn't show any pride in himself. He doesn't show any joy in the game. Roschon Johnson, he acts like the starting running back. He plays like the starting running back. He looks like the starting running back. It's going to be a long week for Texas trying to get past this loss. But I just, you know, I don't know where they go from here because Texas and OU will face again in December in Jerry World in the Big 12 Championship. They have a lot of work to do before that game.
You hit on something about Keontae, you know, and his attitude and all this. Tom Herman went to great lengths in the postgame to say that this Longhorn team was pressing. They were really pressing, especially early on. And you didn't see this Longhorn team press last year against Oklahoma either game, and you darn sure didn't see this Longhorn team press against Georgia. It seemed like they were having fun playing the game, but they were really pressing it today, and it was a Longhorn team that I hadn't seen in a long time. Let me just be honest. I had flashbacks to a couple of years ago, Sam's first year, the way it was all on Sam most of the time this afternoon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, we were talking on the way back from the game. Texas really could have used their future stud, Bijan Robinson, today.
And Jordan Whittington today as well.
Yeah, Jordan Whittington, I saw him on the sideline. You know, he was in street clothes. They don't have that good 1-2 punch right now. Daniel Young got banged up early. He couldn't play. Rashawn Johnson, it's tough, you know, having to rely on a true freshman, third-string quarterback to be your stud running back, but that's just where they're at right now. That's where Tim Beck is.
Daniel Young had a stinger. Jeffrey McCullough, yeah. Dislocated shoulder. Colin Johnson, possible concussion. And then Chris Brown had a fractured forearm. Malcolm Roach got kicked out of the game.
That call, you know, it was right in front of us. That was a bad call. That was a terrible call.
I think it's...
How did it look on TV?
It looked like a call they had to make, Ben, mm-hmm. on TV, because I think a key was when you see Tom Herman not going crazy, he saw the replay. It was one of those deals. It was weird when CeeDee Lamb was going down and Roach was coming in, but he did lower his helmet. I thought he caught more shoulder than he caught helmet.
Yeah.
But there was another play that when it looked like one of the Oklahoma players targeted Sam Ehlinger and they didn't call it. But I hated it for Malcolm Roach, and apparently he was quite upset after the game because didn't get to finish the game. But it was a really strange deal because CeeDee Lamb was going down in a funny way. And here came Malcolm, but they had to call it because they're trying to protect everybody now. So I think when you will see the replay, you'll say, well, it was close, but it was. He did lower his helmet. But I think that hurt a lot. I'd say it hurt a lot. It really didn't make a difference in the first half when Malcolm was in there, when Jalen Hurts was running roughshod.
I mean, at this point, Pop, it's just a matter of time before we see Jalen Hurts take on his former team, Alabama Crimson Tide, no?
I think you're probably right.
It's a matter of time.
I think you're right because I think in this mix, Clemson is winning really, really big today. My final four right now is probably going to be Clemson, LSU, or Alabama.
Yeah, I think it really could be both.
Oklahoma, and you got to throw Ohio State in there too if they continue to win. But this thing with Georgia was terribly exposed. As someone said on Twitter, it's been a bad week for Atlanta area sports with the Braves losing, but Georgia, that loss today was shocking because you're talking about a South Carolina team that was terrible. They're down to their third-string quarterback. Georgia is at home. Georgia should be annihilating South Carolina, but it just didn't happen. So I believe Georgia is going to be out of the mix. I'm interested tonight, and we're going to talk about this next half hour, and we're also going to talk pro football, but this LSU-Florida game is very intriguing to me. Very intriguing.
I really think Florida has a chance to knock LSU off. Their front five can really dominate in the trenches. I think the key for LSU tonight will be Joe Burrow gets off to a hot start and he stays hot.
One thing, talking about LSU, which I'm very disappointed in this Longhorn football team today. I know it was a home game. This was a neutral site. But the intensity was not there with the Texas Longhorn football team. They were so much quicker, so much more physical, so much more aggressive in the game against LSU, and it was just totally missing today.
Yeah, it was a different Texas team. You know, there were flashes of momentum, but it just would not last long. OU, it never seemed like Texas really had a great chance to winning the game. Honestly,
yeah, it was going to be a struggle. Now I saw another tweet. Congratulations to the number one team in the state of Texas now, SMU.
Speaking of SMU, Pop, I saw our friend Sonny Dykes at the game, spoke to him and his wife, Kate. They have the week off this week, so they're going to marinate on their 6-0 start. And I'm hopping on that SMU bandwagon now. I'm all SMU. I'm trading in my orange for blue and red.
I doubt that.
Pony up.
Well, it was.
Mate, are we going to see Shane Buechele take on the Alabama Crimson Tide in the playoffs?
I don't think
that's,
so.
Now, that would be a game I would love to see.
Now, if I'm just looking at the Alabama game, and look who just popped on the TV screen, Major Applewhite. There's Major Applewhite with an A on his hat, and he's got a red
now,
jacket.
Now, how weird is that, seeing Major Applewhite in Alabama Crimson Tide letters? That is a weird sight.
It is a weird sight. He's one of those, what do you call those consultants? He's a consultant for Nick Saban. Yeah. In Alabama.
He's a hired gun. I don't know what his job title is, but he's a hired gun.
Hired gun. But congratulations to all the SMU and Baylor's winning 17-13, and Baylor's undefeated, too. Alabama just scored again, so, Ben, it's now 40-20. The Aggies blocked the extra point, so it's 40-20. Aggies are underdog by 18, so it matters for the bettors probably now. That's about all, as the Aggies need to mount a huge comeback. Mm-hmm. If they score 3 touchdowns, they'll take the lead. It's going to be very, very tough. Okay, well, when we come back, we're going to talk about tonight's games. We're going to talk more about the Longhorns in the coming weeks. They cannot rest on their laurels. Well, they can this week because they have Kansas. But it's going to be interesting to see how Longhorns can play the rest of the way. We'll talk about the remainder of the schedule. I'm Ed Clements in Austin. Clements is in Dallas. He was an eyewitness to the Longhorns 34-27 loss today to the Oklahoma Sooners. Ben and I'll be back with more of the End Zone Club on KLBJ right after the news. Ed Clements and Ben Clements on the End Zone Club. Ben's in Dallas. I'm at the KLBJ studios. Longhorns fall to 4-2 on the year. Oklahoma over the Longhorns 34-27. OU 6-0. Our End Zone Club show brought to you by United Heritage Credit Union. ACL Live that Ben mentioned. Great place to go see concerts. Covered in Bastrop, Rocks and the Guys were closed today, but they're open tomorrow with assistance from Maxwell Lock and Ritter. Delaware Subs, 2-for-1 cheesesteak NFL. Are you coming back for cheesesteaks tomorrow at lunch?
I shall.
All right, good. TicketCity.com. Sue Patrick at 5222 Burnett Road, and by Tito's Homemade Vodka. 34-27 was the final score. Ben, you mentioned in the last segment when Texas and Oklahoma meet again. I hope you are right. The Longhorns face Kansas next week in Austin at DKR. It's a 6:00 kickoff. This should not be any type of a test for Texas, because Kansas is awfully mediocre.
I mean, there's who else would we see in the Big 12 championship besides Texas OU? Is there any other contenders besides Texas? Maybe OSU, but no. I want to say Baylor, but that's not gonna happen.
Baylor has Texas and Oklahoma at home. Mm-hmm. Baylor is winning now 17-13 as enter the fourth quarter. Texas has Kansas on the 19th. They travel to Fort Worth on the 26th. Who knows about TCU, because they're holy golly. I don't know about TCU. Do you have any fear in that game against TCU?
No, not at all. Even at being in Fort Worth, I think Texas will. They'll get some adjustments by then. I think they will be fine. Texas should run the tables up until the Big 12 championship. I just don't know if they can make enough adjustments to be able to rematch OU and be successful.
I think there are two games that concern me. I still think Iowa State, and Iowa State's defeating West Virginia. Iowa State's good. It's going to be on the road at Ames. I don't think there are any world beaters, but they're concerning. I think Baylor's going to be concerning. You brought up a good point about adjustments. It scares me to death to think Texas will meet Oklahoma again in the Big 12 championship game.
It scares me, too, because the thought of Texas losing twice to OU in one season makes me want to jump off a cliff. That is the worst moral hangover, is going in an offseason losing to OU twice in one season. But, you know, we saw this last year. Texas won in the Red River Showdown, and then they went on to lose in the Big 12 Championship. So maybe, who knows, maybe Texas will win in December when the game really, really counts. But at this point, Texas just wants to play spoiler on OU, not to go to the playoffs.
Exactly, and I think Texas has to – they've got to right this ship with the defensive secondary. I know they're hurt. I know Caden Stearns was not there today. But fundamental stuff, Ben, of blocking of tackling, Texas came into this game as the worst tackling team in the country, and they didn't help themselves, because I counted at least 25 missed tackles today.
And they left the game the worst tackling team in history.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Because that is fundamental football, and I know we live in a 7-on-7 world, and in the Big 12 especially, it's a lot of this trying to block people down, and people don't tackle anymore, but it was flat out atrocious today by the Longhorns, especially in the secondary.
Well, yeah, they're still plagued by injuries. That's just been, you know, that's been the story of the year. But having Caden not back there, that really hurt Texas. Having that leadership, having the wolf in the backfield.
Yeah.
That it killed Texas. I mean, he is the best hitter on that team. He is the leader. He's the captain. And that really didn't help Texas.
And the ironies of ironies, since I was a little kid, coaches have always said the team that wins the turnover battle will win the Red River Shootout every time. Well, it didn't happen today because Oklahoma turned the ball over twice. Texas never turned the ball over, but Oklahoma was able to win the field position war. Texas had terrible field position throughout this game.
Yeah, it's hard to go score when we have 97 yards of grass to go against Oklahoma.
Yeah, it really does. But
like I said earlier, I mean, everything that could go wrong went wrong for Texas. There are not many bright spots except for, you know, they found a true starting running back, and Sam Ellinger is a gamer.
And yeah, Rashawn Johnson really proved himself today. I just think, and I hate to be harsh about this, but they took a giant step backwards today.
Yeah, they did. It's just, you know, on paper, on the scoreboard, it doesn't look like it was that atrocious of a game. But if you watch the tape, and you did not know the score, you'd think Texas got beat 45-7.
Yeah, I put out a tweet at the end of the first half and said, does any Longhorn fan really feel like this is a 7-point game? I don't think anybody felt like it because it was just total domination. More facts and figures again on this, and we talked about Jalen Hurts and this Oklahoma offense. Again, the big thing that sticks out on the Oklahoma offense, they averaged 7.1 yards per play compared to Longhorns, 4.2 yards per play. Oklahoma, 232 yards rushing. Jalen Hurts had 131. Kennedy had 107. Texas, Rashawn Johnson had 95. Sam, who was running for his life, had minus 9 in the rushing department. Jalen Hurts, 16 of 28 for 235. Sam was 26 of 38 for 210. But this Longhorn team was not playing defense. Well, I say that. They were playing. It was the old bend but don't break. But they looked terrible, I guess, from between the 20s. They came up with some plays, but this Texas defense, I know they're hurt. I know they're injured, but there was no defensive line play today.
Can you imagine the records Jalen Hurts would have broken if he was a four-year starter at Oklahoma?
Oh, my. Yeah.
I mean, they could have had a dynasty the past 4 years, even though they do have two back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners. That kid, Jalen Hurts, I've never seen anybody that manages a game the way he does. It's like watching Tom Brady. The guy just doesn't make mistakes.
And he's cool. He's cool, too. He's cool back there.
Yeah.
He never panicked. He never panicked. He panicked one time with that interception in the end zone. Let me put you on the spot, Ben. If you are Tom Herman, what do you do in your next game plan, knock on wood, when Texas plays Oklahoma in December, if Texas is able to run the table and Texas Tech or Iowa State or Oklahoma State then do something goofy on
you? Well, I mean, honestly, it's going to be a different team, Pop. First of all, they're going to have Jordan Whittington back. That's going to be huge. They'll have Caden Stearns back. That's huge. They'll have DeMarvian Overshown back. That's huge. And in terms of his game plan, they need to go downfield a lot more. Jake Smith has got to get more looks. Colin Johnson has got to get more looks downfield. They didn't take the big necessary shots when they needed to. They played a little coy at times. I didn't think they put enough pressure on the OU DBs. They were just playing a little soft today.
They were playing very, very soft, and it was mountains of running room for Jalen Hurts.
And the sideways passing, it's like back in the old Greg Davis days of screens and bubble screens and all that BS. That makes my blood boil.
But remember, Greg Davis was a guy who was there with Vince Young when Texas defeated Matt Leinart and Reggie Bush for the national championship.
Well, yeah, but Vince Young had guys like, you know, Linus Swede and Ramontz Taylor and... He had the weapons. Texas right now, they have a bunch of guys that have Vaseline on their hands.
Let's get you up to date. A&M and Alabama. Alabama scored again. 10 minutes to play in the fourth quarter. Alabama 47. The Aggies 20. I'm telling you what, the Aggies, are they going to have a meeting later tonight? Go, why are
I'm
we?
I'm cashing my ticket.
Why are we?
I'm cashing my ticket right now.
Why are
A&M.
We? Pardon me?
I'm cashing my ticket right now, Pop. A&M, when is the last time they covered a game? 4 weeks ago?
Probably 4 weeks ago.
5 weeks ago?
So that means you've got Alabama?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In a big way. Alabama, Texas, and the Patriots. The parlay is going to hit, and that's the only bright spot of the day. Thank God for Tom Brady and Sam Ellinger's late touchdown.
I was going to say, do Aggie fans say, golly, what are we doing in this conference? Why aren't we playing in the Big 12 where we have a chance to chance for championships?
I mean, we say it every single week, but they would be going toe for toe against Texas right now. There'd be a big battle for second place.
There would be a huge battle for second place.
I mean, this A&M team is not an SEC team. They're not playing like an SEC team. They're playing like a Big 12 team.
Yeah, and they're not succeeding because they come into this game 3-2, 1-1 in the SEC. And with this loss, there's going to have to take some really strange things for them to get in the SEC championship game.
Are the Aggies, are they in danger of having a 5-7 season?
I don't think so. But as I say that, they play a lot of nothing on their schedule, but they play a lot of something because they got to play Georgia and they got to play LSU on their schedule too.
Oh, and there's an Aggie touchdown.
Yes, Aggies.
Watch out for the spread.
Aggies have just scored
too soon.
It's 47-26. It looks like the Aggies may. Well, are they going to go for two or not? I'm not sure. Yeah, they're going to try a 2-point conversion. Elsewhere, Ben, Clemson is leading Florida State 42-7. Clemson is going to be in the Final Four, darn it, because they don't play anybody the rest of the way out. Washington and Arizona State currently tied 31-31 in a good matchup in the Pac-12. Yes.
Hey, before we go to break, we've seen enough of these guys by now. What is it, week seven? Who is your Heisman? Because I'd give it to Tua right now because I don't think Jalen Hurts. I'm assuming they're going to give it to Jalen Hurts as a cop out. Basically,
I don't want to say cop out,
but I think they're going to because it's hard not to. He's not making mistakes. He hasn't had a bad game yet. He's putting up 350 plus yards a game, 3 touchdowns a game. How do you not give it to him?
To Jalen or Tua?
To Jalen.
I don't give it to Jalen Hurts for his two. He had two ugly mistakes today, Ben. He did not strike me. He's a fine quarterback, but he did not strike me as a Heisman Trophy winner today with that fumble and with that really stupid interception he threw.
Yeah, I mean, Tua is my Heisman, but I think Trevor Lawrence, he's lost it. Jalen Hurts, he is not a Heisman-type quarterback. Joe Burrow, he's close. I don't think he's a Heisman yet. And then there's that Wisconsin running back who's just tearing it up but quietly.
I'm going to check and see how many yards he had rushing because you're right. He could sneak in, but I think it's probably going to be Tua once again.
Yeah.
Because I think Trevor's off.
Or Tua. He will get his first Heisman.
Well, Jonathan Taylor only had 80 yards rushing in Wisconsin's 38-0 win over Michigan State. So, I just don't think Jalen Hurts is a Heisman Trophy guy. We got to take a break. This is the End Zone Club. I'm Ed Clements at KLBJ. Ben Clements is in Big D. He saw the Longhorns fall today to the Oklahoma Sooners, 34-20. When we come back, we're going to have our locks of the night in college football, and we'll have our pro picks as well when the End Zone Club continues on KLBJ. This is the End Zone Club on KLBJ Radio. I'm Ed Clements at the studio. Ben is in Dallas after watching the Longhorns fall today 34-27 to the Oklahoma Sooners. Oklahoma goes to 6-0. The Longhorns fall to 4-2. Listen, I picked the Longhorns to lose this game at the start of the season. I'm disappointed, Ben, the way they played. I'm disappointed the way they played today.
Yeah, I mean, not many people pick Texas, but I don't know why I'm actually even that upset. I mean, we covered. We all won our money. We didn't win, but we won our money.
You want the money?
Yeah, we won the money. I mean, honestly, you can't win them all, but if you can cash in, why not? Good teams cover. Wait, no, how does it go? Good teams lose, bad teams barely?
No, I think good teams win and good teams cover. I think that may be it. I don't know. The Aggies are now leading 47-28. What was the line on that game? 18?
They're trailing 47.
Oh, pardon me. 47-20. What was the line on that game? 18.5 points, something
17.5.
So you're still
Alabama.
Good. You're still good with that Alabama pick.
We're still golden.
You're still golden with that Alabama pick. Well, it's time now for our locks of the night here on the End Zone Club. And the locks of the night will be brought to you by TicketCity.com. We pick the winners for Saturday night. Ben, let me pick the first winner. And my first winner tonight will be in Iowa City as I will select Penn State to defeat Iowa. Penn State is giving 3.5. Our friend Carl Stewart did his show from Iowa City today. He's there for homecoming. But I sure like Penn State to defeat an Iowa team that has very little offense.
My first pick is going to be Utah, -15 at Oregon State.
Okay. Why?
I don't know. They were the first thing I saw, and that looked pretty good. It's a 7 o'clock game.
Okay.
Pac-12, why not? My second pick is going to be Wake Forest, -7 against Louisville.
Well, that's kind of an obscure game, but Wake Forest, you like Wake Forest?
I do. I like Wake Forest.
Okay.
I'm not picking my usual UTSA game today.
My second pick of the night is going to be the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame, as they will host USC. That's always a good matchup. I just flat out think Notre Dame's a much better team than USC, and Notre Dame wins at home.
Isn't USC on their like sixth string quarterback right
now? Yeah, they really are. They're much like South Carolina. They're taking volunteers from, you know, Brentwood Country Club or something. But I like Notre Dame to cover the 10.5.
Brentwood had a pretty good football player living there for a while. You know who that was?
Yeah, I know that. Orinthio James.
He had a nice right-handed glove.
He did.
Two-time murderer.
If it didn't fit, you must have quit. Okay, my third game, and I don't know, I think you're going to go against this. I'm going to take LSU, Coach O, tonight.
You're taking LSU?
It's a big point. It's a lot of points, but I'm taking LSU.
I'm taking Florida all day long. I think they go into Baton Rouge, and they're going to knock the top off old Ogeron.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, that will be – see, this is a huge game for old Joe, the quarterback from LSU, Gerald Burrow.
This could be his Heisman game. Who knows? It
really could. And I don't think Jalen Hurts had a Heisman game today. Yeah, he was really, really good, but it wasn't a Heisman game. And Tua is having a heck of a game against the Aggies today on national television. Okay, that was our college locks. And let's talk pro football before we make our locks. Dallas Cowboys, so disappointed the Cowboys with the situation when they lost to Green Bay. And it's obvious they're going to beat the Jets tomorrow, but they better right this ship because they got the Eagles right around the corner.
Yeah, Cowboys are their favorite by 7. And this is kind of the bounce-back game. The Jets, who do they have right now besides Le'Veon Bell?
Well, they got Sam Darnold's going to come back from his mononucleosis.
Well, yeah, he's healthy. He is going to play?
He's going to play, yeah.
I don't know. I still like Cowboys -7. This is a big game for them. I did not think they'd lose last week.
Yeah.
But if they lose this week, you can start hitting the panic button.
Well, let's talk about another game. The Houston Texans will be in Pat Mahomes' land in Kansas City tomorrow. Yeah. And that line is down to 4 points with Kansas City the favorite. I don't think anybody knows the health of Pat Mahomes' sore ankle.
No, my fantasy team sure needs him. But if I'm a gambler, I'm not taking anything on the line, but I'm going to take the over on the total yards of that game because that is going to be all bombs away.
All bombs away. Let's pick our winners on our pro locks of the week.
Okay.
Are brought to you by Tito's Homemade Vodka. You go ahead with your number one lock of the week. I think we may have a couple of similar locks of the week.
Well, my first one is sort of obvious. It's going to be the Saints +3 against Gardner Minshew and the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I love that. I love the Saints tomorrow in that game as well.
I don't really know why they're underdogs, to be honest with you. It's Jacksonville and Gardner Minshew against Teddy Bridgewater and the Saints.
Right.
It kind of seems like a no-brainer, right?
It seems like a no-brainer. My first pick of the week, it seems to me, is a no-brainer. I'm taking the L.A. Rams over San Francisco. I know San Francisco's undefeated, but the Rams are not going to lose 3 games in a row.
Yeah, I like that pick. I mean, the Rams are still one of the top teams, but I don't know. The 49ers have to lose eventually. I bet it will be against Jared Goff, but I don't know. My second pick is going to be the Seahawks, -1 at the Browns.
That is one of my picks, too. I don't know why that line is so low, because Baker Mayfield and crew look so pitiful against San Francisco.
It's because they look so good on paper. You see their lineup, and you're thinking, oh, gosh, these guys are going to put up 65 points and go to the NFC Championship. But they are yet to get it done on the field.
Okay, and Russell Wilson, you know, coming off that win over L.A., and they've had, 10 days to prepare for that.
Mm-hmm.
And my third one, of course, is the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys are going to roll tomorrow against the Jets.
All right, my last pick is going to be the Packers -4 against the Lions. It's going to be in Green Bay.
Yeah.
They're coming off of a big win in Dallas. You know, that kind of seems like a no-brainer to me.
If that game would be in Detroit, I wouldn't want that game, but I think you're exactly right with Green Bay. Okay, final thoughts. Longhorns fall today, 34-27. They got to right this ship real quickly if they want to make some noise in postseason if they want to have a chance to go to the Final Four. I know they have two losses. It's going to be very, very difficult. But, boy, they've got to clean some things up very quickly if they're going to face Oklahoma again.
Luckily, they're going to have a chance to play them again, I think. And when is that Big 12 championship? December, like, 7th?
Yeah, December 7th.
Yeah, they'll have their rematch pretty soon, but they have a lot of work to do until then. And hopefully they can get healthy. They can get Jordan Whittington back. They can get Caden Stearns back. And they just need to get healthy. They need to figure out a lot, and their defense has to make a lot of strides.
They do. Okay, Iowa State is crushing West Virginia in the fourth quarter, 31-14. Baylor and Tech, it's a close game, but Baylor leads 17-13 under 5 minutes to play in that
Bears.
Game. And the Baylor Bears are on the verge of being 6-0 in the whole scheme of things.
Who'd have think that it'd be SMU and Baylor that's leading Texas right now?
Yeah, who would have thought that now? And the Aggies and Alabama are in the closing, final 10 minutes of that one with Alabama still leading the fight in Texas A&M Aggies 47-28.
It's gonna be a rough patch for A&M after this game. That's all I can say.
It's gonna be rough. The Aggies are trying to mount this comeback, but I don't know. Aggies are wishing they were back in the Big 12. Hey, it's been fun, Ben. A lot of fun. What's on the dance card tonight? You coming back to town, or you going to hit the town of Dallas?
No, heading back pretty soon. Gonna try to cry away these tears from this game. It's a rough one.
You guys drive safely. I know there are a lot of tears coming back from the Cotton Bowl this afternoon. There'll be better days for the Longhorns. I'm not giving up on Tom Herman at all, or Sam Ellinger. But
I am currently putting on an SMU shirt. That's neither here nor there.
Well, you're in Dallas. That you can do that. Okay, yes. Ben, thanks a million. And coming up next is the 15th Club. I'm sure we'll still talk about football with Scotty. He's down at the Deep Eddy Cabaret, his home away from home. But the 15th Club is coming up next on KLBJ Radio. Many thanks to our sponsors once again, United Heritage Credit Union, ACL Live, Covert and Bastrop, with assistance from Delaware Subs. 2-for-1 subs tomorrow, all day long on NFL Sunday, TicketCity.com. Sue Patrick at 5222 Burnett Road, Kyle Parks and her good buddies at Maxwell Lock and Ritter, and all the great folks and all the great drinks at Tito's Homemade Vodka. Again, our final score, Oklahoma over Texas, 34-27. Don't go away. We're going to keep you up to date on the Aggies and Baylor and Texas Tech and the rest of the football scene, plus delve into the world of G-O-L-F, golf, golf, golf. For Ben, I'm Ed. See you next time on the End Zone Club.
From the ChristopherWaters.com studios, this is News Radio KLBJ AM Austin, 590 AM and K259 AJ Austin.